Today's shiur is Masechet Kedushin Daf Ayin Beis, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. Our Gemara begins with Ad Heichen Hi Bavel. As we've been learning in these Dafim, the Gemara keeps on teaching us that Bavel is considered a location where they were particularly makbid, they were particularly careful about Yichus. So Gemara wants to know, Ad Heichen Hi Bavel, what exactly are the borders of Bavel? Says the Gemara, as Rashi helps us understand, Bavel was a country that was between two rivers, the Pras on the west and the Chidekel on the east, Tigris on the east. So the question is, at Heichen Hi Bavel, Rav Amar ad Nahar Ozok, Vishmul Amar ad Nahar Yoni. Rav says it goes up to on the east side till Nahar Ozak, and Shmuel says to Nahar Yoni. That's on the east side. Le'eva Diglas Al-Hecha, upstream. How far does it go? Rav Amar Abagdav Avna, Shmuel Amar Ad Mishchani B'Klal. Ad Mishchani, until the city of Mishchani. Ask Gemara V'loi Mishchani B'Klal. The Gemara assumes that the city of Mishchani is not included in the borders of Bavel. Ask the Gemara, how can we make such a suggestion? The city of Mishchani is included in the borders of Bavel. Liyachsin. Ella, ad Mishchani, or Mishchani b'klal. The Mishchani is included in the borders of Bavel to have the status of Bavel. The Tachlis b'diglis r'hecha, how far downstream? Amar Rav Shmuel, ad Afamya Tatar. Until the lower Afamya, says the Gemara, Atarte Afamya Havin, there were two Afamyas, Chada Ilosa, one was upper Afamya, V'chada Tataisa, and one was lower Afamya. Chada Ksheira, V'chada Psula. One city was of excellent status regarding Yichus, and one wasn't. Or Ben Chada L'chada, the distance between these two cities was in Parsa. There was only a Parsa separating these two cities. Continues the Gemara, the Kokapti Hadadi, they were so careful not to have any relationship one city with the other, because one city, as we just said, had excellent Yichus issues. The other did not, and they did not want to intermarry to corrupt their Yichus status. Therefore, Vafilu Nura L'mashlech Hadadi, they kept so apart that they wouldn't lend one to the other even a fire, just to keep separate. The simonach, the psulta, and if you want to have a simon, which is the one that's pasul, hod the mishtar mishonis. The city that speaks in the language of mishonis, that is the city that is the poor yichus category. Continues the Gemara, the other river we said on the other side of Bavel is Pras. Says the Gemara, El Pras at Hecha, up the Pras River, how far does Bavel go? Rather of Akra de Tobulkani, till the city of Akra de Tobulkani, Vishmul Am Ad Gishri de Bay Pras, that area, Rav Yochanan Am Ad Ma'abris de Gizmo, until the city of Abris de Gizmo. Says the Gemara, Light Abaya, Vitema Rav Yosef Adarav. Abaya, another say, was Rav Yosef protested against what Rav said, meaning that Rav's area, he extended the area of Bavel, and they were upset at him for extending the area of Bavel, because, as we said, once we aren't 100% careful about the Yichus status, we could corrupt the entire Yichus of Bavel. And they felt that Rav had extended the area of Bavel too far. Asked the Gemara if they're upset at Rav, at the Rav Layit, at the Shmuloi Layit, Shmuel's area was even higher, was broader than Rav's. So if they're upset at Rav for broadening Bavel too much, they certainly should be upset at Shmuel for broadening Bavel too much, says the Gemara. El Layit at the Rav, correct. They were upset at Rav for expanding Bavel too much. The Kalshken at the Shmuel, and they certainly would have been upset at Shmuel also. Vibay Sema, another way of understanding the Gemara. Loilam ad Rav Layit ad Shmuel Loy Layit. They were only upset at Rav, not at Shmuel. However, Begishur de Bepras, Ledhatah Havakoi. In the time of Shmuel, the area of Gishur de Bepras, which Shmuel says Bavel extends to, was closer to Bavel proper than Rav's area. And that's why Shmuel was actually limiting the area of Bavel, and that's why they were only upset at Rav and not at Shmuel. It's just what happened now, nowadays, they changed the areas. Who the Lord of Parsoi? They changed where the area of Gishud the Bepras is, that it's further than Gishud than the area that Rav calls Akrid the Tabonkani. So in the times of Shmuel, where Shmuel issued his ruling, Shmuel had a smaller area above him. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef. So Abayla asks Rav Yosef, Lahai Gis the Pras Arecha? On the other side of Pras, how far does Bavel extend? Amalei Mai Daitach. What's your question? Mishum Birim. Because the city of Birim is in that area, and you want to know the status of Birim. Says the Gemara, Miyachsi the Pras, Birim Naspi. Miyachsi the Pambadisa, Birim Naspi. There's no question that Birim is an area of excellent yichas. Pambadisa, which was the most prominent city in Bavel, we know Pambadisa is where the yeshiva was, the people of Pambadisa, the best families of Pambadisa, married people from Birim. So obviously Birim is an excellent area as far as yichas is concerned. We learned the first Mishnah Masechet Gittin. The first Mishnah Masechet Gittin teaches us that I maybe get Medina Sayyam. If someone brings a get from Medina Sayyam, Tzorach Shiyoyim B'fanei Nechtam B'fanei Nechtam. He has to say B'fanei Nechtam B'fanei Nechtam. And as we learned the Gemara, Machloik is Rava and Rava. Why? One reason is Lishma. A crucial din in a get being written properly is that the get has to be written Lishma. And there was a concern that people in Medina Sayyam did not know that halacha. So that's why Chazal said you have to say b'fanei nechtam to prove that the get was written l'shma. Another reason was because kiyum. We're concerned that the get will be brought with Edom, have to sign the get, and then the Edom are from far away. Nobody here recognizes their signatures. And then there's going to be a question regarding the validity of the Edom, of the signatures of the get. We won't have anybody that could be Mekayim, that could certify the get. So that's why b'fanei nechtam is said to certify the get. And therefore we learned in Masechet Gittin that from Bavel, b'fanei nechtam doesn't have to be said. Because number one, Bavel, they had, as we were learning these the Talmid HaChachamim, they were certainly aware of the din of Lishma. And furthermore, if there's a concern about Shayaris, about people knowing the Edom, there were always Shayaris Mitzuyas, there were always people traveling from Bavel to Yisrael and back, Talmid HaChachamim going to learn in Yeshiva. So now, the question of the Gemara here is, we've spent already a half Amud learning what are the borders of Bavel, so the Gemara wants to know, is that the same din, what are the borders of Bavel regarding the din of B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam? So it says Rapapa, the various questions that we've discussed regarding what is considered Bavel regarding Yichus, the exact same questions come up as far as Hilchus Gittin are concerned. Rabbi Yosef disagrees. As far as Hilchus Yichusin is concerned, we have these various disagreements. Avo Legittin, when it comes to the question, what is the area from where you do have to say, you don't have to say, B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. Divrei Hakol, it extends to Arba Tenonya de Gishra. Amar Rav Abba, Chavel Yama. Chavel Yama apparently is a region in Bavel called Chavel Yama. It's Techelta de Bavel. It's like the Techelis of Bavel. We know Techelis is a very fine wool. That's the tzitzis we have. They used to have Techelis. That area is the best area in Bavel as far as Yichus is concerned. Shunya the Guvya, and now the Gemara goes on to say that the cities of Shunya and Guvya, Tchelta de Chel Yama, are the best area. We said that the best region in Bavel is Chavel Yama. And in the region of Chavel Yama, these cities, Shunya and Guvya, are the best cities for Yichus. Ravina Amar, after Tzutzra. Also, the city of Tzutzra is an excellent area as far as Yichus is concerned. Tanya Nami Hochi, so do we learn in Braisa. Chanam Apichas, I'm a Chavel Yama Tchel to the Bavel. Chav Yom is the best area in Bavel. Shunya, the Guvya, the Tzitzotzra, Tchel to the Chav Yom, they're the best area in Chav Yom. However, Amra Papa, Vehidna, everybody Kitai. Even though this area was such a wonderful, excellent area as far as Yichus, now Kitaim have gotten into, live in that area. However, says the Gemara V'loihi, it's not true. Itasahu the boy Menayu, there was a woman that want, the Kitaim want to take a wife from that area. However, V'loyavale, they never allowed it to happen. So, just because there was such a story, that's how it got a bad reputation. So I saw a number of pshatim. What does it mean? It is a bominei v'lo yuhavalei. One pshat, it's like we just learned. They wanted to have a woman from Kutai. There was a reputation. It never happened. But then Tosfos says, there's another pshat. And Tosfos vehemently opposes that pshat. He says that Rapapa wanted to marry a woman from this area, and nobody wanted to let Rapapa marry from this city. Rapapa wasn't good enough for them, and that's why there were Rishonim that suggested the Rapapa said that they are a bad area as far as Yichus is concerned. But Tosfos adds the words Chas v'shom shial v'datoi. Chas v'shom, that we should say shloi tzadik lohetzi ala azaleim shloi kedin. That we should say Rapapa did something like this because he was mistreated. Says the Gemara, my Chav Yoma, what is the area of Chav Yoma? Am Rapapa zu pras de bursi. It's the area of pras de bursi. Hahu gavra, says the Gemara, damal v'anam shayt meishit. A person arrived and he said, I'm from the city of shayt meishit. Omer of Yitzchak Nafchal Raglov. So Yitzchak Nachman said, "Vam Shoyt Meishet Bein Anaharis Omdis." It stands between the two rivers, Pras and Chidaka. We started the shiur with that Pras and Tiglath, the two rivers that we said at the beginning of the shiur. That is where Bavel is. Says the Gemara, "Vechi Bein Anaharis Omdis." Physically, it's not true. It isn't in that area. Says the Gemara, my hava. So how do we understand this? Amar Abaya, Amar Abchama Barukfa, Amar Ab Yosef Barkanina, Bein HaNoris, Hareki Golo LeYachsen. What it means is that anywhere that's between the rivers is the highest level of Yichus. Veicha Kaima, where is it exactly? Amar Ab Yochen, Mi'i Yedikra Le'el. Above the city of Yedikra. Ask the Gemara, V'amar Ab Yochen, Amma Arpa de Gizma. We learned on the bottom of Ayin Aleph from the base that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Bavel only extends to Ma'ar to the Gizma. So how can we say that this area of Iyidikra, which is above the area of Ma'ar to the Gizma, is an excellent area as far as Yichus? It's certainly included in Bavel. It's past the borders of Bavel. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye Ritzu Nafka. There's a strip of land that protrudes out of Bavel proper, and that's where this area is, and that area is considered like the rest of Bavel as far as Yichus is concerned. Amar Rav Ikabar Avin Amar Mishmuel. Amar Rav, Chilon Nevnet, these are names of cities, Harei Kegoyen LeYachsen. Again, are like the highest level as far as Yichus is concerned. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, LeTetzisalei. Don't pay attention to his report about the status of this city for Yichus. Yivama who the Nafle Lahasim. He had a Yivama that came to him from that area, and that's why he was interested in saying that it was an excellent area for Yichus. So again, the Mefarshim are very troubled. Just because he had his own interest, he's going to say something which is untrue. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat goes back to Gemara that we learned the other day. That we learned that if there's a Rav who's involved in a Din Torah, and he has his own interest in this psak, then he cannot be trusted to say something that he had not reported earlier. That's exactly what happened here. What happened here was, they were having this discussion about these cities of Chlozen and Havnet, about the status of these cities, and Rav Avin, Rav Ikabar Avin, had his own said that this city is excellent as far as Yichus is concerned, but they couldn't accept his report because Allah is, since he had a personal interest, because there was a Yevama they were supposed to marry from this city, that's why he had personal interest, and we can't rely on his psak. That's one pshat. Another pshat, as I saw, is as follows. What happened was here, they wanted to base their psak about the status of the city on the fact that Rav Ikabar Oven married a woman from that city. And we know in halacha, there's always a concept of maisarav. The fact that a chashva person acted in a certain way is a clear indication of what the halacha is. So they told him that the fact that Rav Ika married a woman from that city is not yet a proof that that city is the highest level of yichus. Because the reason he married a woman from that city, it wasn't that he went and chose a wife from that city, which would clearly be an indication that he holds that that city is a good yichus. He was, so to speak, forced into the marriage because it was a yevama. It could be he would have never agreed to marry a woman from that city if he had the choice. So when they didn't want to accept Rav Ikki's report, did he say it's my own psak? I heard this from Rav Chananel. So says the Gemara, also Shailu Rav Chananel. They went and asked the question to Rav Chananel, and Amalu, and he says, indeed, Hach Amarav, Chilazen, Nehavne, these two cities, Harehi Gigoyel Yachsen, are of the highest level. Or Pligid Rav Abba Kahana, but says the Gemara, this is in disagreement with what Rav Abba Kahana said, Dom Rav Abba Kahana, Maidik Siv, V'yinachem, Apostle Melochim, that the Seres HaShvatim were taken to Chalach HaChavar Nagazin Varmadach Chalach Zuchilazin Chibur Zahadayev Nagazin Zuginzik Arimadei Zuchemdon V'chavrseah V'amalei Zunahevet V'chavrseah, the cities around it. My Chavrseah, what are the cities around it? Amishmul Krach Mushki Chuski Varumki, various cities. And Amr Rav Yochanan, and comments Rav Yochanan, the Kulam Lipsul. All of these cities that are being identified now are cities with weak yichus. Why are they weak yichus? Because as we said, the Seres HaShvatim were brought there. And what was the problem with the Seres HaShvatim? So there's a number of pshatim in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that the daughters, the women of the Seres HaShvatim, got married to non-Jews and Avodim. And as we learned at the end of the previous parak, there's a machloikis, what is the din of an oivik hachavim ve'evid haba bas Yisrael. There is one opinion that Avlad Mamzer. And even if we don't follow that opinion, which indeed we don't follow that opinion, we hold that the Vlad is kosher, but we learned that the child, that the daughter is not supposed to marry a kohen. So we clearly see that they're of weaker yichus, they're a pogum. Others say that the Aseres HaShvatim were not careful to follow the rules that the Torah sets forth, who one is allowed to marry and one is not allowed to marry. And therefore, because they didn't follow the rules properly, they produced Mamzerim. And we weren't able to know who are the Mamzerim and who aren't the Mamzerim. And that's why the Yichus of all of these people is called into question. Says the Gemara, Kesak Daitach, we are assuming the Mushchi Hainu Mushchani. The Gemara just identified Mushchi as one of the cities with problematic yichus. The Gemara is assuming that the city of Mushchi and the city of Mushchani are one and the same. Ask the Gemara, how can we make such an assumption? We just learned on the Gemara in Ayin Aleph on the Beis, Baram Chibar Ovar Om Shmuel, Mushchani Hareke Golol Yochsin, that Shmuel taught us that Mushchani is of an excellent status as far as yichus is concerned. Says the Gemara, El Mushchi Lechud, U Mushchani Lechud. The city of Mushchi and the city of Mushchani are two different cities. Mushchi has a poor yichus status, Mushchani has a good yichus status. Says the Gemara. The Pasuk says in Daniel that Daniel saw in a dream four animals, four beasts. Those animals represent the four different kingdoms that have had and will have dominion over Klal Yisrael. And the second animal that he sees, as we'll see in the Gemara, was a bear. And the Pasuk says, in the dream he sees, V'tlos olam ben chanel. There were three pieces of flesh in its mouth between its teeth. What does that represent? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Zu chelozon, Hadayev Netzivim, Shapamim Palosan. Sometimes the Persians have dominion over these areas, or Pamim Balat Tasan, and sometimes it doesn't. So in describing this beast that we just said, V'ori Chavya Achat Haninya, I saw the second beast, Damiel Adoiv. It looked like a bear. Taner Rabbi Yosef, Eilu Pasayim, this represents the Persians. Sh'oichon v'shoysim k'doiv, they eat like a bear. U'm'sabolim k'doiv, the fat like bears are. U'm'gadlim seir k'doiv, the very hairy like bears are. Ve'elam anuch k'doiv, a bear is always moving, and so too, they're restless people. Rav Ami, k'avachazi pars the rochiv, if he would see a Persian riding on a horse or a donkey, u'm'ahayna doiv v'naida, I see a moving bear. Amalei Rav Levi. So Rebbe said to Levi, Hareini Pesayim, show me how the Persians look. Amalei, Doimim L'chayolois of Shal Beis David. They look like the army of Beis David. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, we learned earlier in Daf Mem Tes, Asara Kabin Gvura Yodin Lailim, the 10 Kabin of might, of strength that came to the world, and 9 were taken by the Persians. And this is the same, just like the Chayolos Beis David, the army of Beis David was a very successful army, a very strong army. So too are the Persians, very strong people. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that the Persians, the Chayolos Beis David, was the first army in the history of the world that taught us how to be organized. It was a very, very organized military. The army of the Persians followed that model. They were very organized in their how they went out to battle and how they held battle, and that's why they were so successful, just like the army of Beis David. That's what the Gemara says on Masechta Rosh Hashanah. We say it in the Davening Rosh Hashanah that we all are even in front of Kvnei Meroyim, that we all pass by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an organized fashion, just like the army of David. Hareini Chavrin. Then he asks, show me what the Chavrin are. So some say Chavrin is a country that's next to Persian. Others say the Chavrin represent the priest of Persian that were particularly vicious. Says the Gemara, Doimrim l'chavmalchei chavola. They're like shadim. So Mepharshim explained, a shade doesn't discriminate. It just does damage to good and bad. It just wreaks havoc. So too these Chavrin, they were ruthless. Wherever they went, they just wreaked damage. Yishma'elim, says the Gemara, Doimim l'si'ir mishal beis ha-kesei. They look like the shadim that are found in the bathroom. Some say those shadim have a very dark complexion, so too do Yishma'elim. Others say that when the shadim, the Gemara, the Halacha says, that when do shadim come to the bathroom? When it's not kept clean. The Yishma'elim are not clean people. Hareini talmid ha-chachamim shebebavel, says the Gemara, show me how the talmid ha-chachamim look. Says the Gemara, doim l'malachei asharis. They look like malachim. What does that mean? So the Arizal wants to suggest that malachim, the Pasuk says, are dressed in white. And so too, talmidei chachamim are supposed to be dressed in white. And that's why there's a minig by certain people, particularly in Yerushalayim and at Yisrael, that they wear white clothing, doim l'malachei asharis. In fact, I saw that the Sfarim asked, why isn't that the minig? On the contrary, we see that the Rabbonim usually dress in black. Why it's supposed to be Doimel Malachi Sharas? It's actually a sign of modesty. We don't consider ourselves like Malachim, that we should dress in white. So we dress in black, because black brings humility and modesty, represents humility and modesty. Kavanach Nifshe the Rebbe. When Rebbe was passing away, Humnoi Ikav Bavel, there's a city Humnoi in Bavel, Kula Amanoihi. The city is full of people from Ammon, and we know that even Ammonim, who are Megayer, were not supposed to accept into Klal Yisrael. Mizgraya Ikim Bavel, there's a city Mizgraya Bavel, called the Mamzerihi. The entire city is full of Mamzerim. Birke Ikim Bavel, there's a city called Birke Bavel. Shnei Achim Yesh, there are two brothers there, Shemachlif and the Shesayim Zelazer, and therefore the children are Mamzerim. Birse the Satya Ikim Bavel, there's a city Birse the Satya, Hayoim Sorum Achraim Malkum. Today they rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What happened? The Akva Peira Bekavri B'Shapsa, they caught fish from the pond that overflowed on Shabbos. And they went and they caught those fish in Shabbos. Rav Achbar Avshia put them into Cherim. And they all became Mishmad and they all converted. And this Gemara actually is the basis of a very interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim. The Trumas Hadeshin says that if somebody does an Aveira, if he deserves chayrim or deserves any punishment, the halachi is we have to administer that punishment no matter what the repercussions will be. That means if we'll put the person to chayrim and may cause him and his family to leave the fold, it doesn't make a difference. We have to do what we have to do. And that's, he says, our Gemara. They were put into chayrim and the entire family went, they were mishamed. They were shmad themselves, doesn't make a difference. And actually, the Ramah paskins like the Trumas Hadeshin. And the Chasam Sofer says that it was only a Drabonin, that catching these fish only involved in this Drabonin doesn't make a difference. You have to do what you have to do. The Taz takes exception with the Trumas Hadeshin and the Ramah, and he says, of course, we have to take into consideration the repercussions of punishments that are administered. And he says, perhaps you shouldn't administer a punishment that will have such serious repercussions. How do we explain our Gemara? So he says that the point of the Gemara was that these people were anyway mushumadim. What Rebbe was trying to prove, Rebbe was issuing a lot of piskei halacha. But you know, people don't always accept what the Rabbanim say. Rebbe lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was reporting what was happening in Bavel. How do you know what's happening in Bavel? Obviously, Rebbe was a great person, that he could sit in Eretz Yisrael and see what's doing in the entire world. And that's why he said it, in order that people should accept everything he said. But not because this is the halacha. It's interesting, the Chasam Sofer, la halacha, takes a very interesting approach. He says as follows. If it's a situation where the people are anyway not being mechanech their children properly, and therefore, by punishing them, by putting them into chayrim, it wouldn't make a difference. They should be put into chayrim. But if it's a situation where even though the people maybe don't act as they're supposed to, but they're raising their children properly, and if we put them into chayrim, it could adversely affect how the children would grow up in terms of their religious observance, says the Chasam Sofer, we do have to take it into consideration when we administer and sentence punishments. Says the Gemara, Rebbe was reporting, Akra the Agma Ikva Bavel. There's a city in Bavel called Akra the Agma. Adaba Hava Yeshba. Adaba Hava lives there. Hayoim Yoshev B'Chekesh Lavram. Today he's sitting in the Chekesh Lavram. So there's a number of pshat how to understand this. One pshat Rashi says is that he died on that day. Which Rashi then says. The Gemara speaks about Rav Adaba Hava who lived many years after Rebbe. It must have been the Watur of Adaba Havas. Another pshat Rashi says is that Hayoim Yoshev B'Chekesh Lavram Avinu, today is his bris mila. But then Rashi and Tosfos discussed it would still mean that if Adabar Hava, who we see lived still in the time of Rava, lived a very long life. So some Rishonim say indeed he did live a long life. And another pshat that Tosfos suggests, there were two of Adabar Havas. One of Adabar Hava had his bris on the day of Rebbe, when Rebbe was Nifter. And another of Adabar Hava was born and died later. Says the Gemara, Hayoim Noilid Rabbi Yehuda B'Bavel. Rabbi Yehuda died today, was born today. Why? Domamak, Shmeis Rabbi Kiva Noilid Rabbi. When Rabbi Kiva passed, was born, Rabbi was born. Shmeis Rabbi Noilid Rabbi Yehuda. Shmeis Rabbi Yehuda Noilid Rava. Shmeis Rava Noilid Rav Ashi. Lalamdacha to teach us, Sh'ein Tzadik Niftim in Oilam. One Tzadik doesn't leave the world. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings another tzaddik to the world. Shnemar, v'zorach HaShemesh, uva HaShemesh. Before the sun sets, before another sun, the sun comes up before the sun goes down. And like the Mefarshim explained, the word Shemesh is superfluous in the Pasuk. Actually, covers Shimshon Shel Eli. Before Eli passed away, already Zorcha Shimshon Shmuel Ramasi began, his started to shine. Shnemar, Venera, Lakim, Teren Yichba, Vishmuel Shaykh. So this is the famous Gemara that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't leave Klai Yisrael without leadership. There's always going to be a tzaddik to take the place. So the Mefarshim say, if so, why are we so upset when a tzaddik passes away? So one pshat that I saw is that when a tzaddik passes away, there are two issues, even though another tzaddik is going to replace him. One issue is that the tzaddik that passed away may live in this area, and the new tzaddik may be living somewhere else. So the people who are living in the place where the first tzaddik lived, they're losing the tzaddik. Secondly, it takes time until the second tzaddik becomes a tzaddik. That's what the Gemara says. Hayoyim noil Rabbi Yehuda bebavel. What they were saying is, Rebbe's passing away, Rabbi Yehuda is going to take his place. However, number one, Rabbi Yehuda lives in Bavel. Rebbe lived in Eretz Yisrael. So for the people in Eretz Yisrael, they lost that up, that they have a tzaddik amongst them. Secondly, Rabbi Yehuda was only being born that day. Since Rabbi Yehuda is only being born that day, it's going to take him a while till he becomes a tzaddik. Until then, the world will be missing the tzaddik. So ask the Maral, we know that one of the fundamentals we believe is Neskatnu Hadoros, that every generation becomes weaker than the previous generations. Why are we saying that the generations become weaker if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that tzaddikim are always going to be here? So the Sfas Emes, in answer to that question, says that when the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always replaces the world with a tzaddik, it's only regarding the tzaddik hador. The greatest, there's always going to be a tzaddik hador, but there are many other tzaddikim. And in previous generations, there were many more tzaddikim. As the generations go further, there are less tzaddikim in the generation. But the Maral says a different pshat. The Maral says, very beautiful pshat. He says that every generation has a tzaddik. But the tzaddik of the generation is according to the madrega, is according to the level of the generation. So since every generation becomes weaker than the previous generation, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts a tzaddik in every generation. But that tzaddik is not on the level of the tzaddik of the previous generation. With this Gemara, we could explain, I recall discussing this question, the Gemara says, Masechta Megillah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that when Haman made his Goyrel, in what month he should want to destroy Klal Yisrael, it came out in the month of Adar. The Gemara says that Haman, Somach Simcha Gedoyla, he was very happy. Why? Because that was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. V'layoda shebeshiva ba'adar meis, beshiva ba'adar noilad. So I remember when we learned the Gemara, we asked the question, he was born before he died. So the Gemara should have said, beshiva ba'adar noilad, beshiva ba'adar meis. Say the Mefarshim, pshat in the Gemara is, beshiva ba'adar meis. Moshe Rabbeinu died in shiva ba'adar. Or b'shiva ba'adar noilad, but in shiva ba'adar, when the tzaddik dies, our Gemara teaches us another tzaddik is born. Haman didn't realize that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will never leave us without tzaddikim. Rav Aaron Kotler says that our Gemara actually teaches us even a deeper pshat. He says there are two purposes of having tzaddikim in a generation. One purpose is that the world needs tzaddikim. We need the schus of a tzaddik to protect us. And another purpose of having a tzaddik is that tzaddikim are supposed to be our leaders. So it says that's what the Gemara is teaching us. On one hand, the Gemara teaches us about Rebbe dying and Rebbe Yehuda taking his place. But Rebbe Yehuda wasn't yet ready to be a leader. He was just born. But his neshama being in the world is what the world, Klal Yisrael needs. And then the Gemara gives the other example about Eli and Shmuel, that Shmuel was able to take over the leadership of Klal Yisrael. And we'll end with a beautiful vart, we'll end this piece of Gemara, with a beautiful vart that I saw from the brother of the Maral. He says, the Gemara says, V'zorach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. So he says, we know that as far as we're concerned, it's Vayi Erev Vayi Vayker. The night comes before the day. So the Pasuk should have said, Uva HaShemesh, the sun goes down, v'zarach ha-shemesh, and the sun goes up. And actually, it also makes sense, the son, tzaddik dies, and the tzaddik is born. What does the Gemara, what does the Pasuk say, v'zarach ha-shemesh, uvar ha-shemesh? So he says like this, when a tzaddik leaves the world, we may no longer be able to have physical contact with the tzaddik. But the tzaddik, when he goes to the Olam Ha'emes, still is there. And he's still helping and davening and protecting us. Just like the sun. The sun, when it goes down at night, doesn't mean that the sun is no longer in the world. It's not visible to us. We don't see the sun. We don't enjoy the sun. But the sun is still there. V'zarach ha-shemesh. First we have the tzaddik shining. We all could have connections to the tzaddik. But even when the tzaddik it leaves, uva, when he leaves the world, he's like the shemesh, he's like the sun. He's in Shemayim, still being megan on the dar. Says the Gemara, Tziva Hashem Yaakov, Tziva of Tzorof. Rav Yehuda Omer, Kigoyin Humnoya Lefum Nahara. Like the city of Humnoya, which is right next to where we lived, that was full of the Amoinim, as we said in Amun Aleph, who are always enemies of Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk says, V'hi ki Navi, as he's saying, as Yecheskel is saying in the Nevuah, or Paltiya ben Menyo Meis, this individual Paltiya ben Menyo died, for Epel upon it, fell on my face, for Ezek called Godel, from Aha Hashem Alakim, Ravish Mulama, Chara Mulatoiva. One says that he cried out in bitterness, Chara Mulara. And the other man says that one was that he was happy he died, a normal death, and the other one says he was unhappy. Mad Amar La Toiva, the man that says that he was happy that he died a normal death, says the Gemara, Kihad the standard the Mesha. There was an individual called the standard the Mesha, Chasna the Nevuchadnezzar Havi. He was the son-in-law of Nevuchadnezzar. And he sent him, and he was the governor of the city of Meshan. Sholachle, and the son-in-law sends to his father Nevuchadnezzar, Mekula Hashev Yedah Sisalach, you captured so many people, lo shiradatan lo the koyle kamon. You didn't send anybody that you captured to be a slave to me. So Nebuchadnezzar wanted to send Jews to be his son-in-law slaves. Omle Pataya ben Binyo, so Pataya ben Binyo said to Nebuchadnezzar, Anan de Chashvinen, Nekumikamachacha, Jews who are very special, they should be left as your slaves, the Avdenezen Lahosim. And the other slaves should go there. Vaman Novi, Misha Asa Tova Yisrael. So what the Pasuk means to say, Patio did a tremendous Tova for Klal Yisrael, that we were spared from going to be slaves to this son-in-law, Yomus Bechatz Yomov. It would be terrible that he died young. Mandam Lera, the Ksiv. Pasuk says, "V'tavi oisi al shar beis Hashem hakadmoni hapoyne kedema." He brought us to the gates of the Beis Hamikdash. V'hinev pesach hashar esrim v'chamishish. The 25 individual there. V'eir besochem es yizanya ben Ezer v'es Paltiya ben Binyahu. Amongst those individuals was Paltiya. Sorry, ha'am. They were leaders of the people. V'ksiven is another pasuk. V'yavi oisi al chatzar beis Hashem apnimis. V'hinev pesach hechav Hashem ben ulam v'mezbeach. Again, ke'esrim v'chamesh ish, achureim al heich l'ashem, o k'meim kedma. Ask the Gemara, mimash m'shenemar, ufneim kedma, if we know that the Pasuk says that they were facing to the east side, ein yidei shachureim kapalim arav, then the others, the back is to the west. So why does the Pasuk have to say, matam aloimur, achureim al heich l'ashem, melamed, shem afrim atzmam, they expose themselves, umatrizin atzmam klapim arav. They did such a terrible act of exposing themselves and defecating towards the Beis Hamikdash. The common Navi, so says the Navi, Misha Osa Aroa Zois Bisrael, somebody who sowed such terrible chutzpah, Takarish Borchu, Yomas Al Mistasai. So now the question is, on one hand we see Pataya, one interpretation has Pataya being a good person, another has him being a bad person. Says the Gemara Tistayim, the Shmuel the Amal Aroa. Shmuel is the man that said Pataya was a bad person. We learned before that Shmuel is of the opinion that Mishchani is an excellent status for Yochsen. Meshin, Lechoshalei, Mishima Avdus, Veloy Mishima Mzeris. In the city of Meshin, there's no concern that there are Avodim there. there's no concern that the mamzerim there. However, the only concern of the yichus of that city is kahanim shayhayba. There are kahanim that live there, and those kahanim like pidu ala glushas. So we see that according to Shmuel, there were no avodim that lived in Meishan. But the first interpretation that has Paltoyu as a good person says that he prevented, that he had avodim, slaves sent there. So obviously Shmuel can't agree with that interpretation. Says the Gemara, it's not a contradiction. Shmuel has Paltoyu as a good person. Shmuel has Paltoyu being the individual that had slaves instead of avodim knanim sent to Meishan instead of the Jews. Aye, so why is he saying there's no problem about avodim in Meishan? If we're saying that Paltoyu had Nebuchadnezzar send avodim knanim to that city, because Shmuel tamei d'amar mafka avdoi yotz l'cheres, if somebody's mafker is evid, he goes to cheres ve'en tzarich get shechur. As soon as he's mafker, he goes free. Shnemar, because it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kol eved ish mitnes kesef." So the question is, when we're describing avodim kananim, eved ish loy eved isha, is an eved kanani only somebody who's owned by a man, not by a woman? El eved sheish loy rishus l'rabbi of love, eved that his owner has control over him, kari eved, eved and l'rabbi rishus alav, he has no longer control over him, even though he didn't issue him a shtar shichur, any kari eved, he's no longer called an eved. As Mefarshim say, Machloik is how to understand it. Either it's because of Hefker or it's because of Yiyush. Machloik is what's the difference between Yiyush and Hefker. We'll speak about that in Mitzvah Masechta Bava Kama. Pashat, the difference between Yiyush and Hefker is that Hefker is only possible something that I have control over. Yiyush is even something I don't have control over. Hefker is only possible in front of other people where I say something is Hefker. Yiyush doesn't need to be declared in front of other people. Amar Yehuda Mishmuel. This follows the opinion of Ramea. All countries, we could assume the people there are a fine yichus. Says the Gemara, to marry a woman from Chuz Yisra. Based on what are you allowing this marriage to take place? Because everything we've been discussing is the opinion of Ramea. All cities are Becheskes Kashrus, says the Gemara. How could you follow that opinion? In the yeshiva of Kahana, they didn't follow that opinion. In the yeshiva of Papa, they didn't follow that opinion. Says the Gemara. I feel like Kivlamenei, he wasn't ready to retract. He followed this opinion because this is what he heard from Erev Zvid. Tani Rabbonim, Mamzeriv in the Sinim, Tarim Los Lovei Divir Reb Yosi. Reb Yosi says when Mashiach becomes, all of the Mamzeriv in the Sinim will be purified. Ramei Omer ain't Tahirim. They will not. A Mamzer is a Mamzer. So there's a very fundamental machloikus Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some Rishonim say that our Gemara is talking about Sofik Mamzerim. But a Vadei Mamzer, a Mamzer is a Mamzer. Other Rishonim say that our Gemara is talking about Vadei Mamzerim. That even Vadei Mamzerim, when Mashiach comes, will be purified. And there's a very nice Raya, because many times when the Torah speaks about the disqualification of somebody, the Torah uses the words Ad Olam. Here by Mamzerim, the Torah doesn't use the words Ad Olam, because Mashiach will come to be purified. However, the Rishonim indicate that even if we follow the opinion that the Gemara is following the opinion that a Mamzer Vadei will be purified, that's not to mean, Chas V'Shalom, that the Din of Mamzerim will not exist anymore. The Din of Mamzerim will exist. Just for that period of history, when Mashiach comes, Mashiach will be Matar or Mamzerim at that point, and then everything starts all over again. Amalei Reb Yosi, says the Reb Yosi, how could you say that Mamzerim will not become purified? So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Matar everybody. From all the various Tumas. However, a Mamzer remains a Mamzer. The pasuk ends off with the words "Atara Aschem Hava Oimer Af Min Mamzeris." It obviously indicates that even Mamzeris they will be purified from. Says the Gemara, Bishlam L'Rameya. According to Rameya, it says that Mamzerim will remain when Mashiach comes. Hanadiksev. The pasuk says that Zacharias sees a nevuah, and he sees the Yeshu Mamzer BaAshdod. Ashdod was the place where all the outcasts were sent. El Rav Yosef. If all mamzerim will be purified, why yeshu mamzer ashdod? Says the Gemara, k'metargim Rav Yosef, yeshu yisrael l'rachtsim ba'arayim. Klal Yisrael will sit confidently, will live confidently in the land. Davibar l'b'lanachron, just like the goyim live in peace. Ar Yehudim Shmuel halach Rav Yosef. The halach is like Rav Yosef. Amr Rabbi Yosef, he loved Amr Rabbi Yudah Mishmul, Halach Rabbi Yosef. If the Halach weren't to follow Rabbi Yosef, have us Eliyahu, when Eliyahu will come, Mafik Minon Tzavroni Tzavroni Kolorin. There would be large groups of Mamzerim. But now, Baruch Hashem, there won't be any Mamzerim. So we'll just end the Shir. The Rishonim ask that the Gemara many times says, Hilchos al Mashicha, that the Gemara doesn't talk about something Halacha, the Gemara doesn't paskin what's going to be relevant in Mashiach's time. So why are we speaking about what's going to be in Mashiach's time? So some Rishonim explain that since this is such an important issue that we should understand that we should try to be lenient with Mamzerim as our Gemara teaches us. Another pshat I saw is a beautiful pshat. The Gemara many times says, Loi b'shamayim hi. We can't rely on the Masif to the Shemayim to paskin the Shaila. So we already paskin in our Gemara, the Alok Kreb Yosi, so when Mashiach comes, Eliyahu comes, when Mashiach comes, he won't be able to open up a halachic discussion. What is the rule? It's already gepaskin to now Gemara that we have to be matar everybody when Mashiach comes.